CliffCentral.com.
That's amazing. I just figured out what the lyrics mean. And those lyrics are pretty screwed up. In the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey. Butane in my veins. I mean, it's brilliant stuff. This is Beck with Loser, but I found out that you know, the chorus goes, soy un perdedor, I'm a loser, baby. So, soy un perdedor is Spanish for I am a loser, but it means you're a loser in a permanent way. What a horrible thing.
I honestly did not realize it up until now.
Soy un perdedor, yeah. I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me? Hilarious. Haven't heard that song in years.
Great
band. It's just like when you find out your favorite song has like one of those twisted lyrics.
Speaking of favorites, I'm very sad that I heard the news yesterday about Joseph Shabalala of Ladysmith Black Mambazo, who died in a Pretoria hospital, founder of the multiple Grammy Award-winning group, Ladysmith Black Mambazo. So, bit of a sad note. Yesterday, I think it happened in the late afternoon, early evening.
Mm-hmm.
The news started to leak. But what a sad loss. Really, really great guy. I remember meeting him a few times. One of the most unaffected, totally chilled, unaware of his own brilliance and success in some ways. And I don't think it was an act. He was really just a humble, lovely human being. And that band, that group, broke through so many challenging obstacles to get to the point where they were internationally recognized. There are a number of them still going strong, but obviously Ladysmith Black Mambazo is going to feel this, like the heart being ripped out of them.
Yeah, they were like one of the first groups to really put South Africa on the global on the global map stage.
Swing
spotlight.
Low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. And what was the other? They had a big
homeless.
Moonlight sleeping on a midnight train.
Homeless.
Yeah.
And you guys have never practiced that.
Never.
You've never. That's not a thing that happens on the days I'm not here.
It's honestly one of my favorite songs.
That was like amazing.
And then they sang with Dolly Parton. I blame them for my introduction to Dolly Parton. Because
really?
I remember seeing that music video going, who is that vision of golden gorgeousness?
Dolly Parton's one of those where, what's she, in her 70s?
She has a theme park, Dolly World.
Yeah, yes. And a TV show about stories from her childhood. So she gets the guitar out and she starts to strum and she's like, when I was a little girl, and sings a little bit, and then we go to a flashback, and then there's this like really sassy, precocious 6 or 7 year old girl that's young Dolly, and like even though she's growing up conservative and family and mom and the farm and apple pie, she still stands up for what's right, sometimes in the face of backwards thinking, and like then there's a song that that progresses throughout the episode.
Is that the Netflix thing?
And I saw it
project
in,
you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know where it is. I mean, I saw it in Spain, and it was dubbed. And then it was, and then I kind of have seen it again. I honestly don't know where I saw it, but it's a real thing, and it's like dramatized stories from her childhood. And it's Dolly's one of those where, if I didn't know she was 79 or whatever it is that she is, I might still would.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I always still would on Cher until I found out that like she was 100.
No, that's not.
Because you don't know what's gonna be underneath the packaging, right?
And Cher
gear ages.
Oh, this is Dolly's 74.
Story She's behind right, that song.
See, I don't know, man. She doesn't look it, but once you know that, you gotta.
All right, what is the story behind?
So some woman who worked at a bank, Jolene, was gonna take, literally took him, slept with her man, and she went to the bank and confronted her, and then went and made that song.
Dolly's man.
That's a real story. And the best version of that is with Miley Cyrus and some guys beatboxing. Go and YouTube that. It's awesome.
Nice.
Miley Cyrus does a cover of Jolene with the person.
No. They go. There's Dolly Parton's also on the stage with Miley Cyrus, and then some young punks beatboxing with.
All right. Well, while we're on Dolly Parton, Marcus says Dolly Parton's America is an incredible podcast. I had no idea how many huge hits she had, and how many
she's
huge
been.
I knew it. I knew it.
She has huge, I was refraining. Massive, big round hits.
I was refraining from saying, oh yeah, including the two on her chest.
Then Jared says, my friend went to Dollywood over the Christmas holidays.
Is that what it's called?
Dollywood.
That is beautiful. Yeah, I've had Dollywood once or twice, and then I found out she's like in her 70s.
Told me all about the amazing things that she's done for women. Yeah. And you got to listen to that podcast. She explains. Someone's saying Mubalilalilo is wrong. That is not true. You can listen to the podcast and she explains it.
Wow.
But I listened to a story literally of her telling the song.
Well, which story? The Miley Cyrus beatbox?
No, the Dolly Parton explaining the song.
Gord has a way of saying poo that is so smooth. It's almost euphemistic. It's like he isn't talking about poo. It's very nice and well done. That's from Carl.
Thanks, well Carl. Done for her.
Carl likes it when I talk about poo. It's a pleasure, Carl.
Yes, Carl likes, that's his thing.
Taryn, he likes smooth poo.
Taryn liked hearing Beck's Loser.
Yeah, me too. I was saying off air, it's one of those songs you forget that you really like. You could go 100 years and not think of it, and then someone plays it and you go, I dig this. Waiting with anticipation. Did someone just send you a picture of a MAGA hat?
No, it's a hat that says, make Ocasio-Cortez bartend again. Which she's going to. Everybody says she's a one-term congresswoman. She's in the in Brooklyn somewhere in New York, or could be Brooklyn or the Bronx, I'm not sure. But she was basically, she auditioned for the role of congresswoman. They were looking for an actress to play the role. She won the part.
Oh, no.
She even admits it. I'm going to look it up on YouTube if you don't believe me.
Okay, here's the
Dolly
most
Parton,
recent
the, Dolly Parton is Miley's godmother.
Yes.
Oh, because Billy Ray Cyrus was in the country vibe.
Yes.
He's a dude from that. That makes kind of makes sense. She also saved the farm numerous times when she was a little
number
girl.
Number of times, yeah.
And her parents.
I saved the farm!
Yeah, and the animals. And one time, yeah.
So the most recent
interview.
There
was a forest fire, she put it out.
Oh, goodness.
Dolly's been rocking since a long time.
Dolly Parton talking about her new Netflix project. She says that a lot of people think that Jolene is around the story of a jealous woman named Jolene. But actually, she says that one night she was on stage. There was a beautiful little girl. She was probably 8 years old at the time. And she had this beautiful red hair, this beautiful skin, these beautiful green eyes. And she was looking up at me, holding an autograph. And then as she was about to sign, she asked, "What is your name?" And the little girl said...
Jolene.
Exactly.
So basically, fake news. Malilu made up a whole flipping story.
You bullshitter.
But wait.
I'm begging you, don't please make up the news.
Wait a minute. She was, though, at a bank once. And
redeemed,
there was an attractive bank teller.
Redeemed. Turns out it was a true story after all. Conflicted. Oh, what do you believe? Sorry, you were fact-checking.
After she married her husband, Carl Dean, in 1966, they were both at a bank one day. There was an attractive bank teller who started sort of flirting with her husband. And the bank teller's name was... Jolene. Okay, so I thought it was going to be an autocomplete thing.
Sorry, well done, Imabulaleya.
Retract my outrage.
I don't want an apology because I expect to be right, damn it.
I'm taking the Trump position.
I'm the greatest ever.
I just believe the headline. Mulelo is lying.
Yeah.
We have to do our fact checking.
It's a headline
here on
a lot
the
of
show.
People like.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dolly Parton has entered our universe, but Sia found this amazing list of really stupid and sometimes useless inventions. But that actually, these are on the market. Like, you can buy these things, but they are extremely niched in their ability to solve human problems or make your life better. Listen to some of these things. It's amazing.
Well, remember last week we were talking about so many different things, including I don't understand why public loos still have these shorter doors.
The gap under the door, yeah.
Yeah, so while you're sitting on the bog, someone can identify your shoes.
Especially in our bathroom, if you are sitting, I think people can see your shoes, so they'll know it's you shitting.
You know, it's me
sitting.
Based on the heavy breathing.
Yeah, that too.
And the sound of gunfire.
So thank you to one of our listeners, actually, who tagged me onto this page.
But isn't there a historical reason for the gap under the door?
In case someone dies,
number one, it's ventilation.
That makes sense.
Number two is because if someone is doing something untoward, and I don't just mean something like gross or sexual. Let's say you're holding someone hostage in there or whatever. They can see how many people are in the room. Supposedly there are safety aspects to it. And the third thing is because, you know, you need as much air going through there as possible. And I mean, that goes back to the ventilation one, I suppose.
Also, if your friends are clapping a rail without you, you can be like, dudes.
Why'd you leave me out?
Well, seriously, because I can check three of you in there. Oh. I'm at the bar by myself.
So I think those are the reasons.
So Miss Marmite, one of our listeners, tagged me on Instagram to this page. It's called Unnecessary Inventions. After going through this page, I now think all of these inventions are so important. So the first one, they've dubbed this the crapper concealer. So they write, sometimes you just don't want people to recognize your shoes from under the toilet stall. Thankfully, you can now conceal your shoes while you continue to do your business.
Those look like two cooler boxes that you can put one for each foot.
Yeah.
Those literally are two cooler boxes that someone's put their feet in.
And then they have a nifty packaging as well that you can pack them back in there.
If you carry those into the bathroom, people are going to know who you are.
Yeah, also exactly. I used to work in
an
office where
to show
people that
everyone.
Were in my department were on one side of the office, the bogs were on the other side, and we had to walk through a women's magazine to get from where we sat to the bog. And Oz eventually, and then they could see you go in and come out, obviously, at whatever time. So, and there was no other way to get around it, because if you went down to another floor, you just had to do the same thing on that floor with other strangers. So Oz started to own it. Like, we would roll up a newspaper take increasingly visible stuff. I would grab five European magazines and carry in a stack of them and come out with them, just because it was quite funny. But that's the point is, and people can see you go in and come out. But those are that's a bullshit thing. Woolworths, you can buy those lunchbox. That's what that is.
Look, the page is done by this guy named Maddie, and these are all just his ideas. And here's a second one. So
he's taking the piss. He's like, this is a thing the world needs, but actually it doesn't.
But I honestly think we do need some of these. So here's a second one.
Just hold on. Uh-huh. We can't leave this alone. Doing a stealth shit is a very important part of the office etiquette for some people. As you say, if you had to walk through a women's magazine, for example, or because you get judged harshly.
Yeah, until eventually you start walking with your head obnoxiously high with a rolled up newspaper under your arm and you march in. Yeah, exactly.
But you have to, look, sometimes even people like me who despise the use of any public
amenity.
And I do. I really hate it. But sometimes
I'm writing a poem today called "Public Amenity," and it's gonna be.
Oh god!
And you have to sometimes use the loo.
Amenity called public. Public.
My worst fear is amenity. My worst fear is that I'm in there and someone walks in.
Yeah, you see?
Oh, I hate that.
I don't care about human rights in this context. I remember watching a TV show that was profiling different entrepreneurs, and this guy who runs his business from home with a staff of probably about 6 or 7 people, he says no one is allowed to crap here.
Yeah, you must go out.
But this is my house.
I think it's not so much about the public amenities. It's about it mustn't be SIF.
I don't care.
People who go in and come out with the public bog way worse than they went in should just be immediately shot. But I've got a deep hatred for Steiner Bidvest, because the same way government people should only be allowed to send themselves and their families to public schools and public hospitals while they're in government. Steiner Bidvest should only be allowed their own toilet paper dispensers in their home. And that's all. You should not be allowed to use...
Because those are horrible.
Because, firstly, that thing is upright. It should be on its side with a little spring-operated thing that pushes the most current one to the side. There's always the weight of 3 bog rolls on top. And then, if you need to change it, you've got to force the little cardboard bit in the middle through the not big enough hole. And, you can break your fingers trying to...
This is a very, very important thing.
It is an archaic design. And it doesn't work, and everybody hates it. And also in there's always single ply. Now, when you've got to wipe a man-sized ass with one 10x10 sheet of single ply at a time, it's traumatic.
Steiner Bidvest, I hope you're paying attention. This is some useful customer feedback.
Do better.
Put your loo roll dispenser
or some competitor that's got a better idea, or there's one overseas that works better.
How about
it's just...
Good. An angle. It then is, you don't need the spring, because that's going to be more
but
costly.
Then you're still going to end up with, the next one leaning on the current one and doing one square at a time.
It's impossible to do that. Yeah, it's impossible.
It's the worst.
And it's so time consuming.
And yeah, one square horrible. At a time.
I think it further proves.
Sign a bid vest.
Get your shit together. Don't literally crap and in figuratively.
It further
you
proves.
Sometimes don't have a choice.
I can count on one hand the number of times I've had to take a public bowel movement.
What if
you can
what's the furthest you've driven? Yeah. So what if you're driving from here to Durban and your breakfast acts up?
Oh no, I've never.
Not even in Harry Smith, nothing.
No.
I remember when me and a group of dudes, one of whom is the one dude that I make Budfighter with now. We've been friends a very long time doing other things. We were on an FHM story to follow Metallica around, and we went to all three shows they played here, and we drove from Joburg to Durban for the Durban show. And we all had like a brekkie, and then 2 or 3 hours later, I was like, Oz, we better find a garage soon or else there's trouble. And Oak's like, okay, cool, there's going to be one soon. Then there's that sign for a garage like 5 kilometers. And like, I'm cold sweating. I'm biting a hole in my bottom lip. And suddenly Louis's like, dude, also. And then by the time we got there, our next homie, I might as well just name him Ross Garrett, was like, Oaks, and we all went for a team poo.
Oh,
and
no.
You know, because they got like the bathroom, there's got like 5 cubicles. We all like power walked, because if you run, you'll lose it. We all power walked in and we had to like poo together. And it was like a weirdly off-putting but also strangely bonding experience. It's like you've been through something traumatic together and forever shall we be bonded.
If you look at how in ancient Rome the public latrines worked, they didn't have stalls. Everybody just sat down in like a long
like
bench.
A feeding trough, like a feeding trough for pigs. It's just a long row.
You had a long row of big round holes, usually made out of stone, sometimes marble if you were fancy.
Yeah, marble bugs.
And everybody would just sit there and they'd all...
That's the Gwyneth Paltrow line of Roman bug.
But people would sit and talk to each other. While they were taking it.
Yeah. You get couples who like walk in on each other. Like one of them will just be having a poo and the other one will come in and like grab the toilet paper.
This is enough lavatorial shit for one morning, if you pardon that pun. All right, let's get into some messages. First things first, this is from Sean. Sean, go ahead.
Good, please stop singing. My kids say your voice is irritating. We're on our way to school.
Okay. Kids on their way to
school.
Sorry,
I am a terrible singer. Apologies for that. Sorry, Sean's kids.
Right.
Yo guys, Danny here. Have you ever noticed that toilet doors leading to disabled toilets are often bigger and way more heavier than the doors leading to like a normal male or female toilet? How crazy is that?
Well, there's one in Nicolway Center where there's like a disabled bathroom just before you get into the non-disabled bathroom.
Yeah, and be careful after last week.
The one time, like I was, a guy was like coming out of there, and I noticed that a regularly abled person, whatever, was coming out of there, and it has an electric door. It's got like it opens and closes on its own. So I'm like, that's well and good, because now like the practical side of that when it's working is great, because a dude can just go in, or person, lady, person, whatever, go in and not have to like struggle with a door. Mm-hmm. But we live in a land of load shedding. So like, what happens if you're a disabled person and the automatic electric door?
Oh no, man, the indignity.
And
of that.
The lights go off. So yeah, so it's stuck in. Like, but for real though, like away from the lavatorial aspect, like the door of a disabled bathroom has got to be quite an engineering challenge. Like,
I can't say I have experience, so I don't know.
So
I
like
can't
it
comment.
Makes sense to electrify.
I've
it.
Often used the disabled lavatories and. Because they're always cleaner and they're better maintained because it's just one. Mm-hmm. And if I know that if I don't see any people in wheelchairs or anything else in the vicinity,
yeah,
I'll sometimes use that loo.
In emergencies, I honestly like say that it's an emergency.
And it didn't strike me that the door was any different. Maybe it has a different handle, but otherwise it's exactly the same. So I don't know. It's very cool that they're these electric ones, almost like a Star Wars.
Yeah, very much. Noticed. Actually, very much like that. Yeah.
Oh, so I would
same
like
kind of a vibe. I want like that for my own bathroom, but you don't want to get stuck in a
load shedding situation. Whose cell phone keeps beeping? Not Sia. He doesn't have a phone. That's correct. Actually, it's the sound of your messages coming through. And sometimes when I put this channel on, then you can hear the messages arriving. That's Chris. Hey, guys. I'm the girl at the office who puts up a toilet out of service printed sign on the door of this one particular stall at work just to reduce the traffic to that stall. There's 35 of us ladies in the office sharing 6 toilet stalls. That's from Ayanda.
That's just short of 6 to a toilet.
That story was not going where I thought it was going to go.
I thought she puts
the sign up so that
I mean, it
when
is a
she's
giant
in there,
fuck
she does.
You.
That's exactly what she does.
It is a giant fuck you to everyone else. But what I used to do, and they caught on to this, because I used to go to Opikopi religiously. Now, like, there would have to be gunpoint involved. But I went to, like, 13 Opikopis. Mm-hmm. And they twigged onto this eventually, and dudes with bolt cutters would come around. But I would get a padlock, because Portaloos have like a padlockable. They've got the little dingus where you can put the padlock through and lock the door, obviously for practical reasons for when they're transporting them or whatever. So I would padlock one and keep the key, and then like just because you get there early, padlock
you
it while it's
selfish son of a
but
bitch.
It was genius. And then like that's after a couple of years, my secret method just resulted in
so
a broken
if anyone
padlock.
Wants to know why whenever you went to Opikopi for years on end, there was always this one
padlock bog.
It's God laws. Try an airplane loo when you return from India.
Oh. Yeah, I'm not, I reserve the right to not find this funny based on the grounds that it may incriminate me.
No, just in general, there's something so sick about you've been on a long-haul flight and probably like an hour before you land, everyone wants to freshen up and everyone is probably waking up after sleeping and people do certain things in there and you just can feel the heat.
Oh God.
Emanating from the tiny place.
No. There was one where a plane had to land, like it took off and then somebody used the bog and the plane had to land because it had made the like air cabin intolerable. This was a real news story from a couple of years ago.
When you trapped
someone did a poo so bad the plane had to land.
I remember that. That's so rough. That is so rough.
That is so disgusting. Okay, wait. Let's just look at some of these unnecessary inventions as well. Just a couple, because I think they're really hilarious. This guy also created something called a Jiffy Flosser. So think about the mechanism of a mouth guard that some sportsmen wear. Mm-hmm. But where the partitions are for your individual teeth, there's tiny little floss strings. So you just bite onto this guard
and it flosses
all your teeth at the same time.
All of your teeth at the same time.
It's the Jiffy Flosser.
But everybody's mouth is different.
Well, it would be different. It would be
so it basically looks like a mouth guard, but with the same approach as like a curved train track.
That's clever.
If this is not genius, then I don't know what is. Here's something else that he created. It's called the binge brace. So think about essentially, it's like the frames of sunglasses, but instead of where the lenses are, there's a contraption to fit your phone on. So you can put this brace on and you can binge watch all of your favorite shows.
Too close to his eyes, though. That'll give you an aneurysm. But I saw a really clever thing of a kid that like had a glass dining room, a glass lounge table in his house, mm-hmm. and lay underneath it looking up through the glass and put his cell phone on the glass on the top.
That's clever.
So you could
that's
lie
innovation.
There and look at your screen like a TV.
That's clever.
But we have virtual goggles now. Like, why are
no,
we
but
finding
you don't
that
just have them on hand. Plus, those things suck. I bought the Samsung Gear VR glasses and it was a mission and they were like expensive and it was crap.
And then he also has something called the laundry chair. And I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, don't we all have that one chair at home, probably in our room, that
but
we
you
just use?
Put
yeah,
shit on, yeah.
But what's it like? How does it? Oh, because he's like made a hanger thing on the top.
Yeah,
he's basically just extended all the wooden poles to be like better for hanging stuff on.
This guy's
so
really hilarious.
He's basically combined one of those trestle clothes drying horses,
yes,
and a chair.
Clothes horse.
That's what it's called, yeah. Also, it looks nothing like a horse.
Good point.
Clothes
unnecessary
horse.
Inventions on Instagram.
Isn't that
really
what they're
fun.
Called?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have one of those clothes horse, I suppose you'd call it. It's just the bar across the top that you would put a suit jacket over.
Mm.
I never use it. I use the chair in... So the chair in the room is doing the work anyway.
Mm.
That's the actual clothes horse. I burn the clothes horse, I suppose. I could burn it this winter for fuel.
I use
is that
my...
how rough things are going to be?
I don't know.
Find a clothes you horse never know. Is a very necessary and handy thing.
Can I erroneously be awarded $133 million, please? Ooh. Because this is what happened. Nisfas again erroneously sent a student 5 billion rand.
Not billion.
Billion.
No, that
How
can't
do
be
you
true.
Erroneously send that much money.
It might be a bullshit story.
Yeah, well, we were talking about the credibility of sites earlier. Which site is that from?
Another friend of mine living in Ireland said that somebody won 130 million euros in the Euro lottery like a day or two ago.
Unbelievable amount.
130 million euros. That's like quick maths, 5 billion odd rand, maybe more.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, look, even Mpumalanga News is saying this story is not true. So, you know, if Mpumalanga News is doing...
Roxanne says, as someone who has to use disabled toilets in the past, some South African disabled loos are not user-friendly. They should really get at least 3 disabled people to approve each loo before they could be classified as disability anything.
It's a pretty good idea.
Yeah. Like a disabled committee with clipboards rolling around.
As opposed to like people angry on everyone else's behalf. Like,
rolling
get
around.
It test-driven, so to speak.
Here's the disabled committee.
Roxanne. Sorry,
that's Roxanne.
Sean's kids are trying to get to school.
Sean's kids said your singing voice.
Yeah, good.
They didn't say anything about my singing
You guys
voice.
Busted out a Ladysmith Black Mambazo that was like world class.
And they didn't complain.
No, see? You're right. Shit.
But class is class.
They couldn't wait to complain about Gord's horrible singing.
Yep.
Okay.
So mean, so mean. Sean is so mean.
Apparently, that Nisfas 5 billion story is total bullshit.
Funny,
we're getting lots of fact checking, but that has happened with Nisfas before. Remember, they paid that one student
five million or something.
5 million,
I remember.
And she went and spent,
and rightfully so. Damn it, and bloody rightfully so.
Would you take, if someone erroneously put 5 million rand into your account, would you start spending?
I couldn't.
Or would you immediately like make inquiries?
My only thing is, whilst my mom's alive, if she ever found out I did that, she would throttle me. So I'm too scared of my mom.
Yeah, but that's fine. That's all good.
I would have to sit on it for a while. Like, I would wait a solid 3 to 9 months.
That's it.
Tuck it away somewhere. While you wait, because people, I mean, I understand impulsiveness, obviously sitting here with the size of 3 healthy men. I understand impulsiveness, but at the same time, like, that's kind of irrational vibes, but it's a whole long, boring conversation we've had before. But if you can restrain yourself and sit and wait, after like 3 to 6 months, if you've got how many million of rand?
5, let's say.
But 5 million rand. You stick it away for 6 to 12 months, anything. Even if they do then come take it away from you, you go, okay, cool, well, I've made a year's worth of interest on 5 million.
I would just quietly
shut the hell up.
Don't spend it, but don't tell anybody.
Exactly. That's what you do if you win the lotto.
And listen, if after 9 months nobody's come a-knocking, then you can start having some fun.
You know what? I thought about it when the story happened. That's not enough for me at this age because I believe I will make 5 million rand. So it's not enough for me, the risk. There's too much risk. I remember thinking about it.
You will go to jail.
There's a threshold where I would. Like, make it 150 million and then I'd start like, I'm not a moralist.
Then you're better off just leaving it and absorbing the interest. I mean, I don't know how the law would work in something like this, but I would assume they can't hold you accountable for the interest as well.
You know,
they can be like, we screwed up and sent you 20 million rand. We now, a year later, want it back because of our own error. Like, and you go, okay, cool. Well, I'm not responsible for the interest you lost while you accidentally gave me your money. I didn't steal it, and now I've got to give it back.
Wait, why are we filibustering about this? There's a guy in Kandla who's redid his house for 250 million, and he figured it out. We should
He needed a safety from fire.
No, fair enough.
That's one of my favorite parts of Boot Fighter, for those people that upgrade from the free version to the one where you get all the stages, is where you have to fight Zumatello to use his shell to float across the fire pool and get out of the sewers. All the money from the peristatals flashes into. There's like different sewer tubes just with money and shit running down. And then the opening line is like when Zumatello first jumps out of the sewer, it goes, "Oh my word, that is neither a turtle nor a politician." Zumatello. And the Guptoids come down and they like repower him, and you have to fight him, and it's the best.
And he also talks.
Yeah. Don't fight against me. Why are you punching me? But yeah, like, so I didn't do the voice though. We decided on Bootfighter. I do like at least half the voices, and whenever there was like a person of color or a female person, or a, in one case there's a homosexual character, we've got the right kind of, because I mean, even if the stereotype's being lovingly played with, you just need one person to get offended. So all of our brown characters are brown people, etc., etc. So yeah, my one homie did a very funny Jacob Zuma. All right. Allegedly, but it wasn't really him.
Very nice. I like it, Gord. We're recording another 4 episodes of Blind History today.
Sure.
I'm going to do some serious research. I've done some of it already.
Yeah.
It's this thing's work, man. Got to put together some good stuff for you for season 3.
And if you hadn't listened to the first 2 seasons, they are thrilling and brilliant.
Thank you very much. Apparently it was 14 million rand that was
cheapest
stolen from Nisfas. Well, that was misappropriated into that girl's account. And then, see, I just wonder who in that organization was punished for making that move. Because as much as she's to blame if she spent some of it, someone made the mistake. That means that person should not be trusted with huge amounts of money.
But some people also just don't really have the edumacation, and it's like, you might not know what the rules are if suddenly there's money in your bank account. Yeah. You'll be like, they take like bank fees all the time.
Nothing is for nothing.
No, I know that. On Earth. But like, some people may not know the rules of like, if someone accidentally EFTs you, you've got to give the money back. It's like, it might be a finders keepers type of a... I'm not justifying spending it. I'm just saying there's also a degree of like naivety. Mm. Certain people would be like, oh my God, this is a blessing from the Lord. #blessed.
Well, yes.
Yeah, and also if you're an NSFUS, I mean, you're probably from an economic class that can't even afford university. Imagine she has a kid. Do you have to pay back, what, 300,000 rands worth of loans? She'd take the money, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, guys, first time listening live in 3 years. Sure.
Where you been?
As opposed to listening not live normally or not listening
it's
at all?
From Nico. No, he's been listening but not live.
Nice.
And by the way, can we please fire the bastard who uploads the part 2 of the show? Great show, can't survive without it and without you guys. Well, Velkom rocks. Okay, so Nico's from Velkom.
Same person uploads parts 1 and 2. Do you guys have a part 1 uploader and a part 2 uploader?
Fundo, you're doing both, right? Part 1 and 2. One of the reasons we hired Fundo to do this is because he is a listener and he knows how irritating it is when you can't get the podcast when you want it. So he's making enormous progress. And Nico, because you're from Velkom, I'm just going to delete your message.
Yeah. Right. Why are you saying Nico's unwelcome?
He's unwelcome here. All right. Do you want to go to Mark Bland? I haven't spoken to Mark in a while. He is far from what you think his name suggests, Bland. It is because he is hilarious. He's got some interesting things to say. We haven't caught up with him in a long time. He's an American broadcaster. Mark Bland, the host of The Q, and a guy who's also got his own successful podcast in the US of A. It's also international. And for a long time was here on CliffCentral.com. We thought we need to talk to him about some of the American politics lunacy that's going on at the moment. He joins us now from St. Louis via Skype. How are you, sir?
Gareth, Cliff, how are you, sir? Thank you so much for having me.
It's nice to talk to you, man. What's been going on? I mean, you guys have got Bernie surging in the New Hampshire polls. It's looking really exciting over there, right?
Well, eventually somebody was going to have to pop their head out and start to show that they were going to take the front runner position in that situation. Our problem that we've had is that they've beaten to death the Democratic race for literally ever. Like, they had like 5 or 6 debates before we even got to the ones that are for the primaries and for the stuff that's going on election year itself. Like, it was craziness. I've never seen them go that far out and over the hand. But then again, money speaks, right? Money talks.
Yeah, and 24 candidates at one point. I saw that the latest to jump off the bandwagon is Andrew Yang, a guy whose main talking point, I suppose, was universal basic income. So free money. And that didn't work, and he's decided he's not going to waste any more time or any more money campaigning. He's got a very small support base. Andrew Yang is out. That leaves it with 5 people, am I right? There's Joe Biden.
Something like that.
There's
yep.
Bernie Sanders. There's Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, and who am I leaving out?
Pete Buttigieg. Yes.
Right. So who would you choose if you had to choose one?
Well, you know, you're dealing with an incumbent president who obviously has an extremely vibrant and loud base that is, as of the last election, 64 million voters strong that literally voted for him.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever it is that steps to the top is going to have to be the person who can pull at least 60 million plus voters. The weird thing about that is aside, and I hate to say this, aside from Biden, and I'm not even a Biden fan, but aside from Biden having the backing of Obama and some of the bigger players in politics that they could bring to the table to help him.
Let's just remind
everybody. There's really no one else. There's no one else who I really think can pull that off.
And Obama has been withholding his outright support of Joe Biden from the get-go. He has not indicated at all that he is backing Biden. And this is not very nice for Joe, because Joe really needs this lifeline at this stage. I see he came fifth out of those five candidates in New Hampshire. Fifth. He was beaten by Klobuchar. He was beaten by Warren. He was beaten by Buttigieg even.
Yep. I don't think that... Okay. I don't think that the plan was ever to worry about... I think it was just to throw your hat out there and see what would happen and see if being the former vice president under such a popular administration was going to be enough to keep you moving and keep you swinging. Because if there was some value there, you were going to do it. You know what I'm saying? I don't think Joe had it in him like that. And then I think with all this extra added stuff that come from the impeachment and his son Hunter that they've been beating down to death for the last few months, I think that literally at that point, even he's an old politician who's been around the block a few times. He knows what to look himself in the mirror and knows what the deal is. Like he can figure it out real quickly, and he knows what will work, what won't work. And but, I think that he realized that it won't work after that primary. Like, it just ain't going to work.
Joe's not doing great. I mean, come on. You can't. You say Joe's
going to probably pull out.
He probably will. And then what?
Yeah.
Who's going to be the next best thing?
Then,
Bernie?
Then it's going to come down to one of those individuals. Bernie's the radical, right?
Mm-hmm.
The idea of the democratic socialist that's willing to do socialistic services here in the United States to try to help out.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar per se. Do you guys have universal health care in South Africa?
No, we don't even have normal.
I'm not sure. I have
we
no
don't
idea.
Even have basic health care. What are you talking
we
about?
We don't even have solar system wide health care, let alone universal.
Okay, so you don't have any health care at all, right?
Well, people have private health care and there is a government health care system, but you're likely to die if you end up in a government hospital with even a small infection.
Well, I hate to break this to you, Gareth, but we're both going to die.
I know
that one's going to blow your mind, but eventually we're both going to die. So I feel like that, you know, where you die, well, yeah.
Ideally in a private hospital, here and there. Though.
I'm interested you brought up Bernie just now. Now, Bernie says, we don't want the... He was asked a very direct question, I think, by CBS. They said to him, so you want the government to take control of everyone in America's healthcare? And he said... No, we just want to expand Medicare so that government can control everyone's health care. And he didn't seem to see the irony in his answer. Now, are you more inclined towards the Bernie side of things, or do you think like the Amy Klobuchar, Pete Buttigieg way of thinking is more likely to prevail in the Democratic primary?
I was born here in the middle of the United States, right? Mm-hmm. This is hardcore conservative rural America where I live. I mean, I live in a city of 3 million, but like as far as like where we all live like 20, 30 minutes away from the arch, the St. Louis Arch, like downtown St. Louis. We all live 30 minutes away from downtown St. Louis. So we all live out in the sticks. Mm-hmm. We are country music. We are what you hear about in country music. That's what we are here. I mean, we put up a good front as a big city, but we're no Chicago and New York. So when you're living around here, everyone around you is conservative. You grew up conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And the farthest to the left I could possibly be is in the middle, right? So I have a very strong hold on the idea of private health care, but I do feel like there should be services, certain socialistic health care services. You know, one of the big things that happened – yesterday or the day before was, well, for you guys, 2 days ago, was Trump writing up that he was going to strip down Social Security and he was going to strip down Medicaid mm-hmm. and Medicare. And the problem with that is that you have all these older Americans who are conservative, because I've grown up around them my whole life, and they have been putting money into the pot for Medicaid and Medicare and all these taxes and Social Security and all this for decades and decades and decades, and now they're 75 years old. Mm-hmm. Now they're right where they need it when they need it the most, and it's their money, right? Right. The government says, hey, we're going to tax you. It's their money, mm-hmm. and they're now being told, hey, this might be getting shut down. Like, you might be getting a lot of this taken away, a lot of these different pieces. So I don't think that's going to make people happy. And so I feel like anything that might, this to answer your question, anything that might make them feel like they're not going to lose their health care, especially the older adults who definitely voted for Donald Trump, they might be willing on that note alone to switch over. But it's going to be a tough run for Bernie.
So
now, Bernie's going to give it to him verbally, just like Trump's going to give it to him verbally. But right. it's going to be a tough run for Bernie. I know there's a lot of Democrats and moderates like myself that, you know, like some of his stuff. There's other stuff that we would just throw away. There, like you mentioned Yang earlier, there was a few things that he said that were cool and great ideas. There was a bunch of other stuff that we all just were willing to throw away. And that's where I think the problem is for America now. We need a hybrid. We really need a hardcore, interesting hybrid human being who is willing to play on both sides of the ball.
But you
and
know what?
I mean, there's like also a disconnect.
I follow your comments also. I know you're really not a fan of Donald Trump, like so many Americans. Half the population really do not like the guy.
Right.
And I understand.
But it's not
why.
Because of politics.
No.
It's literally because of his character as
yeah,
a person.
He's
way he handles himself.
Right. He's a horrible person.
He's a blowhard.
And
right.
that,
no,
and
he's
that's,
just a blowhard. He's
and
a
that,
blowhard.
That's something I'm not going to disagree with you about. I think he's probably a very unpleasant person to be around. But I'm not looking for a friend in a politician. I mean, we've had
Correct.
Charming presidents in South Africa. Our former president, who was stealing everything he could see and everything he could lay his hands on, he stole everything. But he was a tremendously charming guy and very affable and a man of the people, and would speak Zulu to people at these big gatherings, and they would love him. He was a real populist in some way, but he was also tremendously, like, seemed like a very nice guy. Meanwhile, he was robbing everybody. Now, Donald Trump is supposedly this really good businessman. We don't know about that. There's some questions around that. But the numbers show he's delivered pretty well as a president, and I think that's probably going to help him with re-election anyway. Despite that, a lot of people are still hung up on his personality, like they want him to be their friend. Now, how do
you? It's two-piece. It's two-piece.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's two-piece. It's his personality and his character as a person and the way he handles himself, how he comes off, kind of like when the early days of his presidency when he was pushing through people at different, you know, stuff like that. Okay? It's two-piece. But here's the other problem. The United States voters, we all carry a gun on our hip, Gareth. Literally every single one of us walks around with a gun on our hip all day long, could literally pull it out and kill any other human being anytime we wanted to. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, we'll have to face the consequences, but we literally do that all day long here. That is just our lives, okay? And we wrote into a constitution many, many, many years ago that we would not allow anyone to act a certain way. Now, because of that and because of that pride, that's handed down generation to generation to the point where we've become very smart at politics in the United States of America. And with the advent of the internet and social media and the way that you can access information so quickly and effortlessly nowadays, right?
Yeah.
We're all smarter when it comes to that aspect too. So you give me a gun on my hip and you go, we make sure that we have no tyranny in this country. That's the rule for 200 plus years. Then you give me the internet and we start watching what happens. We start seeing the video clips. We start seeing the this, the that, the blah, 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 blah. And what it is that half of this population, at least, obviously, or more potentially, because out of a 330 million Americans that exist in the United States, only 120 million actually voted, or 130 million voted mm-hmm. in the last election. That's still 200 million people that are still getting run under the same president, the same guy dealing with the same problems. They didn't even vote at all.
Let me ask you.
And they live here under this. So when you have that many people and that much access to information, and then all of a sudden you start to watch how things come out from this president or this person or that person. It doesn't matter your political party or right. We can go fact check you real quick.
Yeah.
And when we start seeing that the facts don't line up, like you said earlier, that the economy's done good under this president, I'm not going to lie to you and say that Donald Trump's fucked anything up. Technically, no, he hasn't.
Yeah, you've also haven't had a war.
But he also hasn't. But what you really want to say is he hasn't dropped the ball, because the stats are there. The internet's there. The effortless ability to go check on everything that's happened the last 20 years solidly with the information age is there. And we can go watch all the stats move slowly up from 2009 all the way through his presidency. So he didn't drop the ball. He took a hand off and he didn't drop the ball. That's good. And I like that. I like when I see things like that, because that does make me consider the possibility of going, I'm willing to run with this sometimes. I might even take the bad with the good.
Right. Okay, well, listen, I want to ask you, would you prefer, because you tweeted out this picture of, I think it was Joe Biden who said you could run Mickey Mouse against Donald Trump and he'd have a chance. Would you prefer President Mickey Mouse to President Donald Trump? And we'll leave it on that very serious note. Go ahead. What's your answer?
On a serious note, obviously, I'd take Trump. He's a human being, and he actually is one of these individuals who likes to, tussle up a little bit. But that doesn't mean Bernie won't.
But I think that doesn't mean Pete won't.
I mean, it doesn't mean. I mean, every situation is dependent on the situation that's presented. If you are the president of the United States, somebody declares war against you, you're the guy in that. You're the guy in those shoes, whether you're Trump or Obama or anybody else. So whoever that guy is, if it's Pete Buttigieg, then maybe we'll see Pete Buttigieg roll them sleeves up, get ready to throw some hands on somebody.
Well, he's been in the military, it's so possible. Chances are he'd do better at that than most. But I can't imagine President Bernie.
Look, can we talk about this? I don't want to have a fight with you. Come here, sit down. Let's have some coffee.
Yeah,
I will
make. I will make. Took his last Werther's.
I will make a cheesecake.
What if he took his last Werther's?
You can't take
what
my machine
guns.
What did
you do last week? Cheesecake. Yeah. He'd beat your ass.
He'd beat your ass. Okay, listen. Thank you, Mark. Always good to talk to you, man.
It's great to talk to you too, Gareth. Thank you so much, sir.
Cool. You can check out Mark's show, The Queue, and you can find out more about it on cliffcentral.com. We'll post all the links for you so you can find it easily.
He said Bernie's going to give it to him, and I just wanted to burst into song. Bernie, go and give it to him. He go and give it to him. Bernie, go and give it to him. Yeah. Go and give it to him. Healthcare, give it to him.
See, that's now, rapping, and it's different.
Carl's kids are so upset now.
You should be exposing his kids to DMX.
Yeah. Well, dude, that's what I'm saying. DMX is 25 years in, he still can't find his dogs or the hood. I believe his dogs are in the hood, and that's why he's never been able to find his dogs.
Dano says your voice is like a mixture of Fergie and Jesus.
Who's mine?
I'll tell you, that's a movie line, Will Ferrell. That's Will Ferrell.
Right. Very nice.
How do we know what Jesus sounded like?
And then Gord sent me this from a dude on social media who just said, I've only just finished up a 5-day social media hiatus, and I came to the conclusion that putting your phone down every once in a while and actually spending quality time with your loved ones is astronomically more shitty and annoying than just being by yourself and looking at online stuff. Huh? How do you like that?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Says the guy who hasn't had a phone for a week.
Yeah, dude. How have you lived?
I'm back today.
Are you? Yes. You will be, or you already are?
Yeah. I'm literally tracking my phone as we speak. The delivery vehicle has departed for delivery.
Nice.
It says.
Okay. Yes. Well, are you getting something expensive?
Let me just say I'm getting it insured.
Yeah.
It's an iPhone half my life.
Was your previous one not insured?
No. And Bulelo and Pumi gave me the I told you so thing yesterday.
Ken Barbinski convinced me to downgrade my device to the minimum that I need without it being a complete piece of shit. Mm. Insurance is half. I paid for the device cash. It's
look
a
at
thing.
This. I dropped a weight
on my China, phone. You absolutely can't bench press with your phone anywhere near you, China.
I dropped a weight
so
on my phone.
So now your phone's got a racing stripe up the screen.
Yeah.
And it's bright as hell. I think it's going to give me arc eyes.
You actually changed my view on stuff. I also find it ridiculous that South Africans, especially young people with a political outrage, etc., get so worked up about American politics where they can't vote, but they make noise about how they would vote. But I've never liked Trump, and I think he's a total dickhead, and I can't bear the shit that he says, and the fact that a president can't spell, and I by no means am now a fan of Trump. But you're saying presidenting and being a likable person are two different separate stuff. Jobs. Yeah. Like, if I've got the choice, if I hurt myself terribly, God forbid, science forbid, and a nice paramedic who doesn't know what he's fucking doing, or a dickhead paramedic that can save my life, I want the bad oak paramedic that's good at paramedicking.
And the same goes for people in war, for example. If I go to war, I don't want my friends fighting with me on the battlefield. I want the most qualified, brilliant people fighting alongside me, where I would prefer to be the weakest link in that situation.
Well, wait a minute. To be fair, though, let's not make it seem as if the world just became paranoid and crazy in the last couple of years. Previous presidents have come into position by being likable, by being personable.
Ronald Reagan. And
countless. Yeah. And now
I think it's, they have a pretty clear number.
Well, okay, 44. There we go. 44 presidents have come into power by also being likable, by making sure
I honestly believe that The Rock would win a presidential election, and I think there's a chance he eventually might.
Quite rightly. And Gareth will be recording Blind History. I can't say enough about it, but there's a field of study in philosophy called dialectics, which is very, very important. And dialectics is essentially powerful people.
Isn't that not what the Scientologists study?
It's dialectics.
Too much better than Christian.
Having said that, David Moscovich is very good at dialectics, which is the art of getting people to agree with you. Mm. So it serves a purpose, and Donald Trump is offensive in a philosophical sense. The fact that he's shit. Yes, Donald Trump.
This intellectual minute was once again brought to you by Stilnox.
Don't let them bring you down.
In the interest of better sleep.
Carry on,
Stilnox. Interesting, sleepy.
I'm listening, Bolelo.
He offends us because he breaks the wall of dialectics, and he's not presidential. Mm. So he's actually a huge part of philosophy is being dialectic and being by president and being presidential.
Do you have anything to say about Dianetics, about Scientology?
They tune you much better than Krishna, according to Tenacious D.
No. All right, my attention span has completely gone away. Sorry.
I just bored
it's
everyone.
It's morning traffic time, and if we put people to sleep, they could die.
That's a good point.
Oh.
All right, so coming up, we got India Martin and Camille John Jenkins, U.S. entrepreneurs. We spoke to a year ago, maybe a little bit more, and you can find out about that. It's an interview that we've done before. By the way, there's a bunch of things. I spoke to Herman Mashaba on Monday, and I think that's out on Friday. We're speaking to Herman about all the stuff he's doing, the People's Dialogue. You know, he's not giving up on politics. And I must admit, I had a very cynical attitude to Herman because I have a cynical attitude to politicians, full stop. I really think, I hate to say this because I know I might be doing him some damage by saying I support him. But I might also be helping. I don't know. I think the guy's heart's in the right place. I just do not get an ugly vibe from him. He's just a good guy.
But maybe that's his dialectics at play.
Yeah, maybe.
We just learned so much. We should apply the learnings to our thinking.
There were so many times in the recording process of this interview where I had to like sit up and go, did he really just say that?
Yeah, he does not hold back.
He was not mincing his words. He speaks about the ANC. One of his lines in the interview is, as long as we have the ANC in power, I don't know if we'll survive another 5 years. He speaks about the Guptas in the country. He speaks about his beliefs for the death penalty, his opinions on immigrants, how the country needs a decisive leader like him.
Mm-hmm. Take a listen. That'll Friday be on
Friday morning at 8.
So on a serious note from Nico, he says, you guys are doing a great job. I really love the podcast and the shows. Have been a loyal member for 4 years now. I'm grateful for the informative and entertaining stuff. Thank you very much, you shitheads. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, that's awesome. You're re-welcome. He's now re-welcome.
Sincere moment. Yeah, you know, it's the listeners that make the whole thing worthwhile. It's nice to sit and talk cuck with UX once a week, but it seems to make a difference whether it's just a chuckle or if it's because it's informative in people's lives and you get that feedback and it like actually
makes
matters.
You feel good.
Yeah, so thanks.
A different Carl says that Trump is a diabetic, not dialectic.
Look, I still don't know that if I lived in the States, if I would vote vote for him. I still don't think I would. But your point of like how likable an Oak is and how qualified he is for his job are separate matters.
Definitely.
And again, just think of it in terms of the surgeon or the
pilot,
the paramedic or the pilot or any of that shit. Do you want the Oak who's nice or do you want the Oak who's good?
Yeah.
Although Trump might be neither, but that's not for me to give a shit about.
And then South Africa poised with the president doing a State of the Nation address tomorrow. And by the way, Brett Lindekue asked me if we would do a State of the Nation drinking game, and I said no, because nobody cares. I will not be watching the State of the Nation address. I really don't give a shit what Cyril has to say. It's going to be more hot air and empty promises and zero delivery. You know, when you listen to Trump's State of the Union the other day, and all the things that he's already done, mm-hmm. that they already have to boast about, and all Cyril's going to do is get up there and promise you stuff that he wants to do, that he thinks he'll get done, none of which has been achieved. If you want any proof, look at the digitization strategy of just clearing clearing bandwidth. That hasn't happened, and that's been on the table for almost 15 years. Basic things.
What is the digitization strategy?
They want to take what is possible bandwidth now that you could use for the internet or for 5G or for radio or for all the frequencies on that band, which you know there's only a certain amount of bandwidth, for example, and they want to take some of that stuff and turn it digital so that it can free up the bandwidth. It's been a big strategy.
The radio bandwidth.
Radio, television, everything. So they can make it available for 5G services, for LTE, that kind of thing. Mm. It would improve our internet in leaps and bounds.
Okay.
But you need to be able to free it up. At the moment, UHF, VHF, all of those frequencies are taken up by television, radio. So they're going to introduce means for us to...
This reminds me that you suggested YouTube Premium, and that is the best randomly R71.99, what kind of price is that, per month ever. Like,
and you're happy about it.
It is the best. But I also realized, like, in my industry, I work a lot in marketing and mainly in advertising, and like I don't actually see ads anymore, except for when I watch football on SuperSport, mm-hmm. And then I always mute it as soon as the ad break comes on because they always play that AKA ad, and I'd rather drill through my own ear with an out-of-tune drill than listen to him make a single sound with his face. Oh. Like, I don't care about him personally. It's just my least favorite. Okay. It's just my least favorite musician of all time. I don't even... And then they have those condescending alcohol ads where if you drink the right alcohol, you win an entrepreneur award, but you don't forget where you came from.
And you have to be black and bald and wearing a suit. It's
but
the only
the point
way
is, I don't see ads. And also, so there should be a channel on DSTV, even though I still wouldn't get DSTV, where they only show ads, because people, like, that's me. I'm in advertising and I've now freed myself from advertising. But YouTube Premium is cool and they've got like shows on there and like additional content, and there's just no ads. It's the best.
Now, just to go back, you said of all time, Paris Hilton released a song called My Big Fat Ass.
They
you
didn't
rank
make
that
me
higher
listen to
than
it.
AKA?
They didn't make me listen to it every time I watch my favorite team suffer at football.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to give you one last chance to say that AKA isn't the worst.
Untalented sister of the mighty talented Prince Tyga
exactly.
Nelson.
I'm gonna make it
released
subjective.
A song,
gonna,
and you rank her
I'm
higher than
it,
AKA.
I'm gonna make it subjective because I've heard Yoko Ono perform live, and I can. So my least favorite doesn't necessarily translate to the worst. Similarly, if you don't like Eminem's music, mm-hmm. doesn't make him bad at rapping. So my least favorite, although probably technically not worst musician of all time, is AKA.
Versace. I'm gonna give you a chance to change your mind after listening to Tyga Nelson, Prince's untalented sister, and maybe next week you can
surely
come back.
Her name is Princess.
No. Oh. Maybe next week you can come back and apologize to AKA. Mm. But we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We all wait with bated breath.
Is this
breath.
It? This is it. Already prefer it to AKA.
All right, we'll see you next week. What?
100%. I'll listen to this 10 times before listening to just the chorus of AKA. CliffCentral.com